Hey listeners, we wanted to give a quick disclaimer at the beginning of this episode in case you have little ears listening. We're not talking about anything bad, but we wanted to give you a heads up that we are going to discuss some holiday origins. So if you prefer to preserve the magic for your children, then I would encourage you to put your headphones in for this episode or just wait till they're not around to listen. We look forward to having you join us today. We'll see you soon.
Welcome to the Ancient Paths Podcast. We are your hosts, Wendy and Shani, and we are two moms, a quarter of a century apart, preserving tradition for a modern generation.
Today, we're going to talk about all things Christmas, our family's Christmas traditions, traditions of old, and new ways to enjoy Christmas traditions while seeking a simpler life. We hope you join us as we slow down this season. This doesn't mean we don't have lots of holiday things to do, but we seek to walk at a slower pace and savor every little thing this Christmas season. Let's get started.
All right. It's tea time. What are you drinking this morning?
I am drinking Trader Joe's candy cane green tea decaffeinated. Because I've already had two cups of coffee.
I have my iced coffee right there.
Do you really? Oh, that's what's in the lemon
cup. Yes. Okay, yeah. All right. I've got white chocolate peppermint. It's white tea.
It smells really good.
And it contains caffeine.
Oh, we probably should have read that.
I have four kids. I can never have too much caffeine.
That's right.
It is a cold day today.
It is kind of cold. Well, for Florida.
It is for Florida. I mean, we're allowed to say it's cold.
We have long sleeves, sweatshirts. Yeah. I have on my mini slippers. I have Minnie Mouse slippers.
Socks and slippers on. That's how cold I am today. But it's nice out.
It is nice. It's lovely. It's clear and crisp. And the sun is shining. Yeah. And yeah, it's really pretty outside.
So what have you been up to this week?
I don't even remember. What have I done? Oh, I had a wreath workshop.
Oh, yeah.
We talked about that last week. Yeah, we had the wreath workshop, and we put together, we had five ladies come, and we did wreaths, and we just gathered greenery from around the farm and taught them how to make a live wreath. So now they can do that from now on for, you know, pretty inexpensively.
Yeah.
For their house. Bring things in. We don't need to keep buying stuff. And so I think they really had a good time. None of them knew each other. Just a couple of them did. So they were able to interact with each other. And I really, really liked that. I thought that was really fun. I had a great time.
Good.
Yeah. Okay. So I did that wreath workshop. And then I feel like I did something else, but I don't remember.
It's just been one of those weeks.
I know what I'm doing this week. I just finished planning this coming up, you know, getting everything
sorted. So the CSA box is done for the year.
We're just planting right now. Yep. I'm planting my cool flowers for the flower part of it, mm-hmm. the cut flower part of it. And I'm also getting the vegetables, my list ready, my seed list ready. I need to get those orders in. I have a good supply already, but I need to get the seed orders in for things that are going to be in the next weeks. It'll start February 12th.
Okay.
So it doesn't seem like long, but 60 days would be December 12th, and a lot of crops are 60 days. So I need to get on the ball. I need to get on the ball with getting them planted in the greenhouse. I know, right? It's not too many days. What about you? What'd you do this week?
What did we do this week? Well, since the last time we recorded, we had our geography fair.
Oh, the O'Canada.
Yes. How did that go? That was a lot of fun. We learned a lot about different countries. It was a lot of fun to hear the connections that all of the families in our community have to different countries.
Oh, wow.
So we had a family where the dad is from Portugal.
That's fabulous.
And then there's some German connection. What's the other? There's Italian. And obviously we have the Canadian connection and then somebody else grew up in England. They're American, but they grew up in England. And so they shared some of those things. So it was a lot of fun.
That's real personal.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like that. I think that's a great idea.
Yeah. Oh, and we had a Cuban family. So like their dad is half Cuban. Mm-hmm. So the grandpa was there who was...
From Cuba.
Yeah, he's from Cuba. And so that was a lot of fun to get to talk to him. That's like walking history with all these people.
Yeah.
And to be able to stand there and share all that with his grandkids. It was really cool.
That is really cool. I love that. Yeah. I love that. I was learning from the ancients.
Ancients, that's right.
Learning from the ancients. Okay. Yeah. So are we going to talk about what we're drinking? Are we doing tea time?
Well, we said we're drinking.
Oh, but we haven't said what books we're reading.
Yeah, what are you reading?
Okay,
right now?
So I am reading, of course, I cannot read just one. So I am back in my poems. I'm reading my Rudyard Kipling book.
Okay.
because I love him. So I'm reading Rudyard Kipling, and I'm also reading The Wings of Refuge by Lynn Alston. My friend Michelle sent that to me. I've been slowly reading this. It's really, really good.
Is it a fiction story?
It is a fiction, okay. And it's about an archaeologist in Israel.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it's really, really good. The things that they're finding out, they're undercovering.
Yeah.
Uncovering. Why did I think it was undercovering? What? Perhaps I needed 3 cups of coffee this morning. And then at Christmas, I always pull out all of our Christmas books. They're laying all over the floors around here. But my favorite one is the Fireside Book of Christmas Stories. Shani's going to want this one.
Is that the one you sent me this morning?
Did I send that? So that one too? No, I sent you a lamplighter.
Yes, that's
what you sent me. So lamplighter.net. Have you seen them before?
No, but I clicked on it because you sent it.
He was here. The man that was in charge of it was here at a homeschool convention we had at UWF probably in 2004, 2003, long time ago. And what they were doing is trying to find old classic books that were just out of print because nobody was really interested. Mm-hmm. And he's revamped them, revised them.
Okay.
And they're leather bound. And then they also have a radio drama.
That's what I saw. Starting. There's the Unlikely Wise Men is one that showed up.
Yeah, that's the one that's free if you sign up for their emails. And then I think everything's 20% off. But they have a lot of really, really good radio drama.
I'm
going
to have to look into that.
They're getting really good at that.
We like radio drama. Like, my kids really love Adventures in Odyssey.
Oh, I love Adventures in Odyssey,
that's what
too.
That is.
Yeah,
so
Gilead Lane is another good one.
Yeah.
And there's if you have not heard The Chronicles of Narnia by Focus on the Family Radio Theater.
We have that one on
CD.
Oh
my word, yeah. Aslan. You know, Aslan is, actually I think in that one, Aslan is David Suchet, who is Poirot on, you know, the PBS Masterpiece.
But
this is the Fireside Book of Christmas Stories.
Okay.
And it has some really good, just small, you know, small stories.
Yeah.
Like The Other Wise Man is in here. But I love it. I read it every single year. I just break it out and read it. It forces me to read classic and get my mind thinking, my vocabulary back to normal.
I want to start doing that. Have like the things that I read
consistently
at certain times of the year.
Yeah.
I'm getting to the point where I'm starting to reread some of my favorite books. Like I love to read new stories.
Who's
too.
Your favorite author?
I don't know. See, here's the thing. Probably, honestly, Jane Austen is my favorite.
Jane Austen is my favorite.
I love Jane Austen.
How is this happening?
I
opened the door today and she has burgundy on. I have burgundy on. The other day we had the same shoes and Jane Austen is my favorite.
Yeah. It's a classic. I mean,
I love
her. It's the romance and the love stories, and it's just well written.
It is very well written.
But I don't even know if I want to share this or not. I love the fantasy genre.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I love to
like
read.
Like Mordor.
Yeah, I love to read to
Shire.
Escape into a different world. And there's different levels of fantasy.
Oh, for
you know?
Sure.
So,
yeah.
I enjoy reading those just to kind of. You know,
well, you're busy.
Go to a different world for
you're
a little
busy
while,
and
it's fun.
And your life is really busy with reality. So, you know, I don't know that there's anything wrong with that. I'm sure there's some people that would disagree with me, but they don't have to.
Nonfiction
listen.
Is hard for me to read,
right?
Just because it requires me to think
and to do things,
and and to engage with the information. Mm-hmm. But when you read fiction, especially when it's a completely different world.
Mm-hmm.
It's easier to just kind of get sucked
and
into
enjoy.
That world.
You're
and
enjoying
enjoy
it. Yeah. It's you're enjoying
and
it.
And I love historical fiction too, which is, I mean, that's what Jane Austen is.
Yeah.
I tell
a lot of my students that, and their parents, that I understand that some kids just don't like to read, but if you want your children to write well, they need to read an author who writes well and they will by osmosis learn that.
Yeah.
They really will. And
that's what Andrew Boudoir says. Expose them to
good
writing. Because
And
if
they
don't know what good writing looks like, they will not be good writers.
They will learn the cadence. They will learn the way things flow. They will learn
and the variety that they can have.
Exactly. And the variety.
You can.
It really makes your brain think. I think so. Yeah. So, just didn't know that, Shani.
Well,
I am a Jane Austen
I actually
girl.
Have a nonfiction book with
you
me
do?
Today. And I'm not very far into it, but I have read her first book. This is Abby Halberstadt's Hard is Not the Same Thing as Bad. And her first book is M is for Mama.
and I really like it. It's not quite a devotional, but it's kind of written that way, that at the end of the chapter, it has, I do have a Van Gogh postcard as a bookmark. I love sunflowers, and I love his sunflowers work. But it has kind of like questions and like, how are you going to take what you've read here and apply it?
Oh, good.
And, her big phrase is that hard is not the same thing as bad.
I agree with that phrase.
And it's really cool to listen to her testimony. She actually has an awesome podcast too. It's called Emma's for Mama.
We shall all listen to that.
Oh, yeah. It's a good one.
I have to go to town today. I'll listen.
Yeah. I enjoy listening to her because she's very wise and just biblically solid.
Excuse me.
She has 10 kids,
bless
two
you.
Sets of twins in those 10.
Bless you guys, twin mamas.
She just has so much wisdom to share. And it's not like her life is this glamorous, you know, everything's perfect.
I mean, kind of thing. Is really?
Right. And she shares the good, the bad, and the ugly. Mm-hmm. They just had basically their whole house flood recently. And it's been neat to watch the testimony of how God's provided through all of that. But anyway, I like, she's easy to read because it's like she's talking to you. The way that she writes, it's like she's talking.
I love that.
So that's what one of the books that I'm reading right now. That's the only one
I
brought.
Very good. Now that we know, if you guys want to tell us what books you're reading, you can just drop those in the comments, show notes, whatever it's called.
Comment,
let us know. Send us a message
on Instagram.
Yeah, it would be great to know if you're reading something. We would love to read it too.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's move on to family traditions.
Yeah.
What are some of your family traditions?
We are kind of still, I feel like, in the stage of establishing some of our traditions. So I'm trying to think through the timeline of Christmas, of the Christmas season. We put our tree up right around Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. Sometimes the weekend before. We try to wait until the Saturday after, but you know, life is crazy. So sometimes it happens a little bit before, and we love decorating the tree. It's just,
I do too. I love
the
it.
The kids enjoy it. And I am not the one that stresses about the way that it looks.
Yeah.
And so it's just fun to get to sit back and enjoy them being excited about it. And they're like, oh, I remember this ornament. Yeah. And just get to enjoy that. And my three-year-old, for the first time this year, it's kind of clicked. And she just, I mean, the epitome of squealing delight the entire time we were decorating the tree. And it was so much
good
fun.
Good memories.
Yes.
Yeah, those are good memories.
And then I was trying to put the star on and I fell and broke a shelf, but you know.
It's okay. You can get a new shelf.
Yelled at everybody about how we need to be grateful for what we have instead of wanting more. And it was terrible. You know, there's always something.
Everyone has their meltdown moments.
Yeah, no one spoke for about 20 minutes and it was fine.
Let mama get back.
It was bad. But we do that and we love to bake. We love to do all sorts of Christmas baking. The kids really like to decorate cookies. I always make my husband decorate at least one, and he does so begrudgingly. He hates decorating cookies.
Does he really?
He just doesn't. He'd rather eat them.
Right. I can understand that.
Yeah.
But that's the fun. Make them then eat them. Yeah.
We do that. And then, you know, the years, it changes depending on what we have going on. Sometimes we like to go drive around and look at lights.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
During COVID season, you know, the first couple of years when there really wasn't a whole lot going on, that's what we did almost every night was... Yeah. Load the kids up in the car and go drive around and look at lights. Yeah. Now, then we lived in a suburban area where there were a lot more lights.
Same with us with the Cantonment area.
You didn't have to watch for deer. And, and then the one thing that has been pretty consistent the last 5 years is we have a Polar Express train that goes around our tree. And on Christmas Eve, the Polar Express gets packed up and sent to the North Pole so that there's room for the presents.
That's a really good idea for you to do. So there's room. Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Well, Polar Express goes back to the North Pole.
It goes back to the North Pole on New Year's Eve anyway.
I mean, Christmas Eve. Yeah. Christmas Eve anyway.
Christmas Eve. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's a really good, that's a great tradition. I love that. There's a lot of traditions out here.
Yeah.
You know, now the elf on the shelf is a new thing. I mean, there's like the twins or something. There's like the elf mates, I think is what they're called. There's two of them, a boy and a girl. There's a bunch of that stuff going out.
We don't do Elf on the Shelf.
We had, so when my kids were little, when I was little, my parents were divorced. So I would go to my dad's house when we got out of school, mm-hmm. and we would stay all week. And then we would come back to Pensacola area on Christmas Eve. We would go to mm-hmm. my dad's mom's, and then we would go to my mom's mom's. My dad would spend the night at our house mm-hmm. on Christmas Eve, and then we would wake up and open presents the next morning. That was always a good tradition. But the first day we would go to my dad's house, we would put up, you know, we would get it, put up the tree, and we would open the first present. He would let us open a present a day.
Yeah.
And it was always an ornament. You know, ornament for the year, usually the Hallmark with the date on it.
Yeah.
He would always let us open. So when we got older, it was, hey, can we open the ornament tonight?
Yeah.
Because we knew what was going to happen. But we would always do things like bake bread or goodies, you know, a mm-hmm. wreath or something, and take it to his friends or his work people. And my mom, you know, we would always usually go out to eat or go make a big deal about going shopping one day.
Yeah.
So we always had these little traditions that weren't over the top, but they were consistent.
Yeah.
They were consistent. And then when my kids grew up, I gave them the same thing. I did the ornaments for them. Mm-hmm. And so when Thomas got married, you know, as the older they got, I put their ornaments with their date or something mm-hmm. special about their year. I put them in a box for them and then gave
so
it to them.
So they could take it.
So they could take it if they chose to do so. I don't know, you know, if they will or whatever, but it's just, that's what I wanted to do for them, to start them off on their tree.
Yeah.
But I always do something like that. If it's whatever's big, like if they graduated high school, it was a graduation ornament. Mm-hmm. If they got their first house, it was a house ornament.
Yeah.
Something like that to mark what happened that year. I love that, you know, that little, it's not a huge gift, but it's just a little gift. And I love the tradition like you do about baking. I love baking and I love to take things to people.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's, you know, mixes or cookies or something like that. I love the
traditions.
It's just
something fun to do when
fun.
You want to be cozy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, if I'm loving the weather right now because
it feels like Christmas,
For us, even though it's sunny and there's no snow and there
it's
won't
windy
be.
And I don't know, what is it? It's 55 degrees
outside. Yeah, something like that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we could very well have a 80 degree Christmas
with shorts on and tank tops. It happens. It
so
does
when
happen.
It when we have days like this, we have to enjoy the cool weather.
Yeah,
we like it though. Have any of the traditions that you started out with your kids when they were like my kids' age, did mm-hmm. they change a lot as they were growing, or were you pretty consistent?
Well, we were pretty consistent. However, we moved up here in 2002 mm-hmm. and instead of going to the Pensacola parade, mm-hmm. we would go to the Atmore parade, mm-hmm. which is a smaller town. They call it the Twilight Parade, really small. And then my cousins who live about 20 minutes north of us, they meet us and then we go eat at Acapulco, you know, the Mexican restaurant, because we see each other. It's fun. We all get there's candy, like nobody's business at that parade. And it's just a fun little thing to do. So we started involving more people instead of it just being us. Mm-hmm. And then we would have traditions at church, whether it was a cantata, play, things like that. When they got older, there was really nothing for the high school age kids to do, you know, so they didn't really have anything to do. But I think they pretty much stayed the same. I mean, there's been some things, you know, when the family changes that you just don't do anymore. But I think for the most part, they miss those things and they're probably emulate them in their family, I think.
Yeah. I was trying to reflect on the things that I did growing up that if there was any things that we don't really do, when I was a kid, we would always open, well, on Christmas Eve, we always went to a Christmas Eve service. Mm-hmm. And that's one thing that we don't do here that mm-hmm. I really miss. I miss that, like, you get to go pick out a Christmas outfit mm-hmm. and you get all dressed up and you go and you sing carols and, mm-hmm. You know, hear the Christmas story, just a refresher every year. And
only the big churches do that.
Yeah. And it was just, I don't know. There was something fun about doing that. And then we would come home and we would get to open one present mm-hmm. Before we went to bed.
It's like you get one present before you go to bed.
And then when we got a little bit older, we started watching movies mm-hmm. on Christmas Eve, like after we did church and we opened our gift. And then that was how the first time I ever watched Lord of the Rings mm-hmm. was 3 years in a row. We only made it in the Fellowship of the Ring. We only made it to Rivendell and then we had to turn it off because we were so scared. But I mean, I was 9 and my sister was 7. So,
yeah.
But then when my brother, who's 7 years younger than me, got old enough to watch it, like that became my thing that I would sit and watch it with him. And I made him watch it with me until he liked it. Now he likes it.
There you go.
Yeah.
Right.
So we would do that. We always had, you know, all the church events and putting up lights. Mm-hmm. We did not put up outside lights last year because we had just moved in. Mm-hmm. And this year we were going to put them up, and we realized that we threw all of ours away when we packed up our old house 3 years ago. Mm. So we are probably not going to put lights up again this year.
Right.
Which is disappointing, but It'll be okay. Yeah.
It'll be okay.
We'll try to plan a little bit further ahead and budget for some next year. So
I get you. Okay, so what is the most difficult part of the season for you? Let's get some real. Let's get some real in here.
Changing gears. I'm trying to think. I think that some of it is just, like, it's already, what is today, December 6th?
Mm-hmm. It's going to be here quickly.
Yeah, and it's just flying by already. And I always try to make myself wait to do any of the Advent things until December 1st. Mm-hmm. But then it's like that first week just flies by. Mm-hmm. And I think next year, as soon as Thanksgiving's over, we're just going to start
started.
That way, you know, if we miss a day, then it's fine. But I think just the time goes by so fast.
It does.
And I don't want to miss anything.
Right.
And I want to be able to savor it. And I think that part's hard.
Yeah, it is hard.
To try to force time to slow down.
And it's not going to happen. The older, let me tell you, there's some wisdom from the quarter of a century older person, is it actually goes faster. I just blinked, and I remember being at my friend's house making cookies last year, and it feels like not even a week or two ago. I mean, it really... Yeah. It feels like it was just recently, and it's not. I mean, it really, time doesn't speed up. Obviously, that's not logical, but it feels like it. You just get so busy with things that it just feels like it's just going faster.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about for you? What's the hard part about this season?
The hard part about the season is that I'm entering the age that my friends are getting, that they're like sick and passing away And, you know, my grandmother's, what used to be a tradition, we'd go to my grandmother's and see all of my family. That tradition's not there anymore, you know. And when you're younger, to feel a part of a bigger thing was really fun and exciting. Yeah. I really miss that fellowship. And when you get older, you have to recognize, okay, your kids are moving out. They have their own families, their own Christmases to do things with. And so... And just struggles in the family, you know, if there's anything happening in your family, you know, just trying to deal with it, but still trying to recreate that dichotomy, right? That I want it to be this way and it was fun and for me, but now, you know, you're the matriarch. How do you make that still be fun, but still fill your soul too? You know, I mean, do you just slow down and let it go? You know, it's like God, he just wants us to move through things instead of trying to manipulate things.
And control it.
So just do what you can when you can. And I think that that's where I am. It's just do what you can when you can, but still find joy in the season because the whole point is that Jesus has come, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's the glory of it. The fun part that's everywhere else is still there.
Yeah.
You just have to seek it. You have to seek it through people who think the same way you do and who want to celebrate it with you.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. That's the way it was back then.
Yep.
It is the way it was back then. Okay.
Yeah. What is a practical tip that you have for slowing down and being more intentional during the Christmas season?
Okay, so I will be honest. I am a planner, and over the years, I've had a Christmas planner.
Okay.
I printed out...
like for the whole month of December?
No, October, November, December.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. And go ahead and get things ahead of time done. And I break them down into little chunks.
Yeah.
And so I would go ahead and start planning so I would be prepared. This year, not so much. This year, it's just looking like a list. Mm-hmm. I still have a planner that I've printed out, but it's basically things like set your budget. What are your goals? What movies do you want to watch? What books do you want to read? And just go ahead and write those down. You sit down with a movie, a piece of paper, and a pencil, and you write down all the things you want to do. Mm-hmm. And then you prioritize them. What is realistic for you to do?
Yeah.
And then once I do what's realistic, then I can breathe. And I can say, you know what? I decided not to do that this year. Like one thing is we go see Bellingraph. We go see the lights at Bellingraph.
Yeah.
But last year when we went, 2 hours we were sitting in a bumper-to-bumper traffic.
It's crazy.
Yeah. It's awful. It was crazy. So we said, you know, of course we haven't really talked about it, but I think I decided I am not doing that this year.
Yeah.
I enjoy Callaway lights. Those are fabulous up in Georgia. But, you know, just what do you want to do?
Yeah.
And so this year, out to be slower, I picked out books and movies that I wanted to do, that I still want to bake for my neighbors. I still want to have people over for the gingerbread competition. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Have different things like that and go to the parade.
Yeah.
They've changed the parade, actually. It's going to rain Saturday, so they're going to have it on Sunday.
Oh.
But there's just certain things that I do want to do.
Yeah.
And I just narrowed it down. And one thing with the boys, with gifts we did when we were probably your age, I don't even remember, is that my dad had this thing. He always said, "What you get what you want, what you need, what you wear, what you read."
Yep.
So that's the way they do with my kids.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what we did. And we would give them extra stuff, like the ornament, the different things like that. But for the most part, try to limit the gifts. Because
we tried to do that this year.
Yeah. I love that.
And we kind of stuck to it, but we're working on it. Yeah, we're trying to find the balance of not going too much overboard because our kids do have grandparents that live close by.
True.
Both sets live close by. And
That's really cool. That's really cool.
Okay, so are we ready to get on the history?
We are ready to get on the history.
Okay.
Okay.
So I asked Wendy if I should get on the soapbox.
And what
or not
did
today.
Wendy say?
Wendy said to pray about it. And after prayer and consideration, I think we should still talk about this because I think it has something to do with our goal in seeking the ancient paths.
Mm-hmm. It's relevant.
Yes. So I don't have a super extensive thing written out here, but the question I was asking was, when did Christmas become all about consumerism? And is there a turning point in history that we can look to see when that happened?
Right.
And we're specifically talking about the United States because that's where we live.
Right. Certainly.
Europe,
perhaps.
I can't really speak to cultures in other countries, but for our country, so they kind of took the concept of Christmas, which had up until that point been kind of family oriented and just a quiet, it wasn't even really a day off of work for a lot of people.
Right.
And with the introduction of factories where things could be mass produced, things like toys, for example, and other things, marketers needed a way to sell their products. And we talked about that in another episode. And this is how Christmas became what we know it as today, where there's Christmas sales starting even in October,
Halloween,
you know?
Yeah.
And so the Dutch brought the character of Sinterklaas, which became Santa Claus in our country, based on St. Nicholas.
Myra, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm. And they brought it to New Amsterdam, which became New York. But that was still, that was more like a church tradition. It wasn't really like a cultural tradition of gift giving necessarily. Mm-hmm. It was different than what it looks like today. And then fast forward a couple hundred years or 150 years into antebellum times in the US, that's where marketing really had to pick up because factories were producing things faster than they could sell them. And so they needed ways to sell things to people. And we talked to our Sunday school class about this on Sunday and showed them the pictures of Harper's Weekly's example of what Santa Claus looked like.
Oh, is that the Union Soldier?
This is the Union Soldier. So Thomas Nast was the illustrator for Harper's Weekly. And he depicted Santa Claus dressed in a coat. It was a blue coat with stars on it, and then his pants were striped, and it was supposed to represent the Union. And then one of the pictures, he's holding, do you know what the jumping jack toy is?
I think I do, the one that goes like this.
Yeah,
like where you pull it up and
the
arms and legs move.
So Santa is holding a jumping jack toy, but the jumping jack toy also has a noose around its neck, and it's the Confederate president, Jefferson Davis. you know, it's just, it was just propaganda. And then did you know that the North Pole, the concept of Santa being associated with the North Pole didn't originate until, let's see, 1866?
Yeah, what was that?
In Harper's Weekly.
In Harper's Weekly.
It was also credited to Thomas Nast.
Wow.
And it was a propaganda piece. And Christmas in the United States didn't even become a federal holiday until 1870.
Right. Yeah. William Bradford. It was actually you would go to jail. So jail if you celebrated Christmas on the 25th, because the Puritans did not agree with it. They thought it was a pagan holiday. And it was really hard because we had Pennsylvania Dutch or Germans moving in, you know, coming in. To America, and they brought their German Tannenbaum traditions with them. And so but it did become a holiday. We did decide that it would become a holiday.
And there were plenty of people celebrating it before. They were celebrating it was an actual holiday.
Absolutely. But it wasn't really popular.
Yeah. And I mean, we have such a wide variety of Christmas tradition in our country because we are a melting pot.
We have lots of traditions. Yes. Yeah. The Christmas tree being one of them.
Yeah. So I was kind of asking myself, what did Christmas look like before the marketers got a hold of it as a holiday?
So like early 1800s, maybe?
Yeah. And I think I'm finding this more and more, and maybe it's not a surprise to most people, but to me, it's just things are clicking into place that a lot of the things I'm learning about, we can trace back to the turning point being the Industrial Revolution.
Right.
And the
that had a huge impact on
us.
I mean, if you look at
in all areas,
you just look at real popular Scrooge, you know, Charles Dickens, that was written about the Industrial Revolution. Mm-hmm. And it was about children were being put in the workhouses because they needed the workers, and and adults were too. I mean, it was a very hard time. So you have this man who's hard-hearted because he's just been desensitized to what's happening, and he's accepted it, and he's, you know, and then he has the three ghosts that come to him and talk to him in his dream, and he changes his mentality, and he finds that Christmas is not about that at all.
Right.
And so that was about the same time, the Industrial Revolution.
Yeah.
You know, we were building and making things, whether it be fabric or just small things to make things with, other things with, you know, your goods that would make other things. But then they were also making toys that children could afford. Middle class people could now afford.
Toys were available to the lower classes.
It wasn't just
the wealthy.
Yeah.
That was one thing I was thinking about as I was driving over here, how to make this not sound so harsh, but really the advent of a lot of these technologies allowed people to not have to occupy their time with how they were going to put food on the table and in their children's bellies.
And so that's a good idea. I mean, that's a good, so I mean, it is a good thing. I mean,
but what did it lead to?
Right. Exactly.
And, when I was going through this last night, all I could think of was that quote that idle hands are a devil's playground. And, that maybe that playground was created on purpose.
Well, yeah. I mean, it separated the family.
Yes.
Now you have family members going to work, leaving home, and not being a cohesive unit.
Yeah.
Instead of working on their own home or in their own home. And
well, and then you have all of the marketing saying you need this so that you don't have to, you know, wash your own clothes.
Right. Sure.
Or, you know, just things that the conveniences in and of themselves are not bad, but how are you replacing the time that you would have been spending doing the things like baking bread, for example, or washing clothes, or even making the clothes. Mm-hmm. You know, there was a time not that long ago where people had to actually harvest the wool in order to make the fabric.
Exactly.
Or the cotton to make the fabric and then sew the clothes together. Now we can order it from Amazon
and it's here.
You know?
Yeah.
And we're just very disconnected from a lot of those things.
Yeah,
I agree. I think the having so much free time is what has led to us having to fill up all of
this. That's a really good observation.
I think we are standing at the crossroads of this holiday season.
And
for my family, I'm asking the question, are we going to succumb to what society tells us we have to do this time of year?
Right.
And what we have to do in order to have a successful Christmas or not miss out on anything? Or are we going to seek the ancient paths and slow down and savor the changing of the seasons?
Right.
And remember why we're celebrating this time of year. And I don't think that there is one like formula answer for every family, because every family's priorities are going to be different.
All different. And it evolves. Everything, you know, about the traditions evolve. Just look at how our traditions have evolved. We talked about this before the show. You know, even in America, I mean, it was against the law. And then Victoria married Albert. Albert is from Germany. He brings his German tradition to Britain, and you see it. You see the tree. And so, of course, Americans, we love this.
Yes.
Even though there's some of us that hated them because we finally were free of them.
Yeah.
We love that. So we bring the traditions here. The Pennsylvania Dutch already have it. And so we start in a lot of the pagan celebrations where the greenery was for the hope of spring to come.
Yeah.
And so we start emulating that, and now we still have it, and it's not a bad thing.
No.
It's a good thing. We are moving toward what's working for us as a society.
Yeah.
And so if we do think that it is a better way to slow down, we can change that way too.
Yeah.
I mean, look at this little homestead movement that's going on. That is not a little homestead movement. It is amazing. At the workshop we had, I had a lady over here and her son, who's in his 30s, I think he's in his 30s, he just went to a chicken harvesting, which we're having on Saturday. We're having a chicken harvesting, if you want to come. So he went to a chicken harvesting, and she never thought he would go to a chicken harvesting. But his age they're getting into this. This is a really popular thing. So, you know, as with Christmas, we can, as a society, make it what we want. We don't have to follow everything everyone does. And that's the age thing coming out in me, is that we can make it what we want it to look like in our families.
Yeah.
And when they grow up, they're going to be able to make it look like what they want in their families. So for you and I and everyone who's listening, you know, you get to make your traditions, your family, your own.
Yeah.
And if you want to follow the culture, you follow the culture. But I would bet that if you're listening, you're probably not wanting to do that. And you have the power within you to make it what you want. You can slow it down just as much as you want, or you can speed it up just as much as you want. You can consumerize it as much as you want or not. Not saying you're not going to get any flack or feedback from your kids when somebody else gets a beat on their 16th Christmas or whatever. But you can make it be what is best for your family.
Yeah.
And trust me, they will have memories. They will remember it. There will be good times. And they won't be so angry because they didn't get all of the things.
Yeah.
They will find the blessings because you prayed over it and you thought about it and you wanted what's best for them because your heart attitude was right.
Right.
You weren't trying to slack them. You weren't trying to short them. You were trying to give them what you thought was best.
Right.
And that's why God gave them to you and you to them, not by, you know, not any other way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's one of the things. I know ultimately I can't control the choices and decisions that my kids make as they get older, but I am learning that my biggest job as a mom, other than actively teaching them, is to pray for them.
Yes.
And to pray that the Lord would instill in them and would give me the ability to teach them the things that He wants them to know and trust Him to do the work, because I can talk their ear off all day. I'm really good at talking, but I want something that is going to be more lasting for them. Mm-hmm. And I would love if my daughter would want to do all the same things that I'm doing.
Yeah.
And I would love to have one of my sons love history as much as I do and want to live off of the land and desire to know where their food comes from and to play a big part in producing it.
Right.
And I think that there is hope that might happen, but I also want to be able to have the grace to give my kids, if that's not what they choose to do, as long as they are following God's plan for their life, to encourage them and cheer them on.
Right.
And that is a different level of surrender than I ever thought.
Right.
You know, like there's the level that I'm at right now is like, okay, Lord, just help us not get sick.
Yeah.
Like I'm trusting that you're going to take care of us and you've right. given me the tools. And, but it's hard watching them get older. Mm-hmm. It's happening too fast.
It will go faster.
And I'm not okay with it.
Yeah, I know. I know. It's hard. It really is hard. It just reminds us that, you know, we don't have tomorrow. We don't, yeah. we're not promised tomorrow, you know?
Yeah.
And so we just be happy with this day that we have. Let us rejoice yeah. and be glad. This is the Lord. This is the day is the Lord's, right? Celebrate,
yeah.
you know, let's just be glad that we have this, you know, and celebrate this day and be happy about this day. Yeah. And we can find joy in the day. We can find joy in this is what we got. And they yeah. will grow up, Shani. They're going to move away. They will.
Yeah.
They will. And you know what? I
had
an older lady. No one ever is. I am not. You know, yeah. I was not. But I tell you that I had an older lady, one of my Titus II mamas, they told me a long time ago that God fills in the gaps.
Yeah.
He fills it because they're his children too.
Yeah.
So whatever we can't do or we don't do, he already knows we're not going to be able to do it. Mm-hmm. And he fills in the gaps. We just have to trust that. And for our kids at Christmas, we just have to pour all the love that we can into them and pour all of Christ's love into them that we can. Mm-hmm. And just let them know they are loved, they are welcomed, they are wanted, they are enjoyed.
Yeah.
They are enjoyed. And that's what we're doing. I think that's what a lot of parents do when they give them too many toys. They just love to see their face when they open
yeah.
them. You know, I mean, I think a lot of them are just so, let's keep the excitement going,
yeah.
you know. And yeah. it's an adrenaline rush.
Yeah.
With all the paper around and all the presents
yes.
open. The kids are just so wired all day.
Yeah.
Trying to play with all of their stuff at one time.
We always have to take a break because if they... Which should just mean we should just give less.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, they want to play with it right then. Oh. They don't want to wait to open
no.
everything else.
Right.
We're kind of shifting to that where they're like, okay, let's open everything. Mm-hmm. What else is there?
Yeah.
But I don't know how to find that, like, we can enjoy that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not a bad thing.
Sure.
But to not have such a crash afterwards, mm-hmm. because it can kind of feel like a disappointment. Like when
Christmas is over.
Yeah, there's
yeah.
no more to open. Mm-hmm. And... that's one of the reasons we kind of, in our family, we're trying to learn how to extend the Christmas season through Epiphany.
Oh, Epiphany is great. Yeah,
yeah.
I teach like that.
Teach them that the season doesn't just end with everything that you get.
That's
like
where
there's
the
hope.
Turtle
to come.
Dove and the partridges.
Yeah,
the 12 days of Christmas. That's where it comes
yep.
from. Yeah,
yeah.
It's a great tradition. I think. Yeah, I think
yeah.
that's an Advent. I love Advent
yes.
season. It is my favorite. Just
yeah.
kind of. Taking a breath every day and doing something different. And yeah, I think it's fabulous. I think it's
so before
fabulous.
We close, mm-hmm. what is maybe an ancient path Christmas tradition that we could maybe look back to for a simpler mindset this season?
For a simpler mindset, I think you just hit on it, like Epiphany.
Yeah.
Advent. Sit down and look. Advent means coming, you know, the looking mm-hmm. forward to the coming. So try to sit down. If you don't do it every day, do it at least on the Sundays of Advent,
mm-hmm.
but sit down and look for things to be thankful for, things to be grateful for. Take that time. It's supposed to be a slow season.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing's growing, nothing, you know, seasonal. I mean, you're supposed to be refreshing, you know, letting the
yeah.
land lay fallow. You're supposed to be getting ready. So try to take that time. And then if you can do something like the Epiphany, the 12 days of Christmas,
mm-hmm.
slow down and enjoy every single day for those 12 days and just kind of, whew,
yeah.
Take a deep breath after all the presents and after all the baking and after all the whatever and look toward the season, the new season that's coming up, 2024.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It's coming.
It's
just a week or two.
Yeah.
So
this episode is going to release the Thursday before Christmas.
Okay. Merry Christmas.
And Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
We want to tell you that. And so our next episode is going to release in December, but it's really to kick off our big
yes.
challenge. So it will be your January episode for the Crossroads
mm-hmm.
Challenge. And we will try to do the last episode of each month will be the introduction for the coming month.
The coming month, yeah.
So this is our Christmas special. Maybe
our Christmas
first
special.
Annual
our first
Christmas,
annual Christmas
special.
You need to put some Christmas Mordor music
yes.
in there.
Yes.
Like, what would Christmas have looked like for The Hobbit or something? You know?
Probably
in the
like
Shire.
A good English
countryside
yeah, Christmas.
Plum pudding and,
yes.
you know, figgy pudding or whatever and all the things. ones, yeah. With the crackers, you know, the crackers.
Yes, the Christmas crackers.
The Christmas crackers.
Those actually didn't come until after, like, in the Victorian era. That was one of the things I read about.
I don't know. I know it wasn't idyllic, but the pictures sure did make it look like it was. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Everybody gets an orange or
we should have said what was one of our first, or one of our favorite Christmas treats. Maybe we can make an Instagram
post. Make an Instagram post about our Christmas. Oh, yeah, because I need to think about that, because I got a lot of those Christmas treats.
We need to share some of those in
We need to share some of those. I'm liking the fudge I got for me last week, though.
Hey, that's everybody's liking the fudge.
It's been a little bit of a controversy here. It's on top of the fridge, and it was opened by someone that shouldn't have been opening it. But it's okay.
That's funny.
It's okay.
I thought that it started with my grandmother, but my dad informed me that it started with his grandmother.
Oh, so.
It's been around longer.
Did you know that the Victorians in the stockings gave the kids beer? Like, I haven't really researched that, but they skipping ropes, toy soldiers, beer, fruit and books, and they exchange letters like we do cards.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. But beer. So we need to really look at that. I looked at that before you got here, and I thought.
It's just a treat.
Like, is it like root beer, like sarsaparilla, or is it like really beer? I don't know.
Maybe it was cleaner than drinking water.
Maybe.
I don't know.
I don't know.
With all the sewer systems in the
cities. You never know. Okay, so Merry Christmas, everyone. Thank you for being with us.
Yeah, we'll see you in our next episode.
In our next episode.
Yeah.
Jingle bells all the way.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.